everyone. Welcome back to the Meal Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon from GetMealFans.com. This is episode 9, season 2, and technically a continuation of last week's episode. So if you haven't yet listened to Patricia on episode 8, stop right now and go do that and then come back. And you're all set. Let's go. So I'm so excited to have you back today, Patricia. The last time we talked, you were getting ready to just go into your Jumpstart challenge at work. And now it's over. And I'm dying to hear how it went.
Well, it just went way beyond my expectations. And we've had such great success. We had 5 people sign up. And I basically made them lunch and dinner for 10 work days. And then they promised to follow the plant-based guidelines for breakfast. And then on the weekends, I said, well, you know, I can't monitor you, so I'm just trusting you. And some of them, you know, cheated a little bit, but they pretty much stayed pretty true, which was very exciting. And I really got a lot of positive feedback. And really, I think I learned so much more from it than maybe some of them did. They really shared a lot of their challenges with me. And one of the things that was amazing is one of the young ladies was so amazed at what ingredients are hidden in many of the foods that she typically eats. Like one night she went to a grocery store just to get some guacamole, some salsa, and some tortillas without any oil in it, because I talked to them about oil. And she came back the next day and was just telling me this horrifying story. She was so horrified to find that there was oil in the guacamole, oil in the salsa, oil in the tortillas, all of this that she didn't know anything about. And so now I've created, you know, people now that are very vigilant about looking at every single ingredient in all the products that they buy.
Mm-hmm.
3 of my participants did the before and after blood work. And one of the participants in particular, so I had one who was a vegetarian, one who was a vegan, kind of dabbling in plant-based, and another woman didn't do any of that.
And this is, they were vegan and vegetarian prior to the challenge?
Yeah.
Okay.
One was a vegetarian. She still eats dairy and eggs, but not meat. Another person was a vegan, really a lot of plant-based, but still ate a lot of oil and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other 3 didn't do any of that.
They were omnivores.
Yeah. And so one of the women just gave me her results yesterday. Her triglycerides before were 573, which is just a ridiculous.
Oh my gosh, wow.
She got measured last week, 232.
What?
Yes, they went down 60%.
That's
60%.
Oh my God.
She was the largest major change in the blood work.
Wow.
The other 2 women, their numbers all went down, but not by giant amount, but still significantly have changed. And they are observing the change in their bodies as well. And
so even the 2 that were already vegan and vegetarian, just by being more whole foods, plant-based, no oil, they saw a drop.
Yes. I mean, one of the person that had just adopted the plant-based diet, she had started doing this over the fall, just through me. I had been talking about it. So she got the books and read through Eat to Live and was adopting all of that. In July, she had taken her triglycerides. They were 120. And then she just did them last week and they dropped by half to 62.
I don't even have words. I'm just shocked my mouth is open.
No, I am too, because she's a very, very thin woman, and has been eating this way for, you know, ever since we did this study. So just for her to have her triglycerides, and she was stunned. I think she was really shocked. One of the cool things about this whole entire thing is not only did these 5 individuals join up and read all the information and listened to what I had to say, but then the ripple effect started. So one of the women's father, who was overweight and always tired, he decided to start following her diet. And he's lost 28 pounds.
What?
Yes. Since, you know, over the holidays. So after the holidays, he started doing this. and he's lost 28 pounds already. His energy level has returned. Now he can get on the floor, and you sent me a picture of him before and then after. Now he can get on the floor and play with his little granddaughter. So he's very excited.
And just to timestamp this, we're only in the middle of February because sometimes podcasts get recorded a little bit early. So it's really a short amount of time if it was the holidays, because we just had Valentine's Day.
I know. That's what's amazing. And then the other woman's mother lost 8 pounds, very thin woman to begin with, but she basically halved all her numbers. And she's been doing it since like Christmas time. Before Christmas.
Which again is a very short period.
Yes,
which you're talking about.
And what's amazing, Lindsay, is that many of these people have been going to the doctors, and doctors never tell them about their diet, never say anything to them about their diet. They give them medicine, and you know, one of the women had her gallbladder removed because, you know, she was having such problems. It's like, you're going to have problems all your life, and we need to take your gallbladder out. And so all of these people are doing these extreme, the doctors are doing these extreme things. And just in a month's time, their lives have changed.
That's just, when you said it worked out better than you ever anticipated, this is blowing my mind. I have nothing to say. I'm so shocked and blown away right now.
It's just exciting. Like I would come home every day and, you know, I have a great job, but this I was so excited about this. I would go home and tell my husband, you're not going to believe what happened today, and how they're making now meals for their kids at home. And they're bringing soup over to their mother who was sick. And they're making these because I shared all the recipes with them. And so they were making stuff as well over the weekends, and they're still doing it. Like a lot of them have stayed true. A couple of them are kind of modifying and, you know, taking the journey one step at a time. It's progress, not perfection, like you say. I use that all the time. And I actually shared, you know, some of your wonderful recipes with them, and every single one of them was always a hit.
I think I remember you did like the Thai curry, which had been so hugely popular with the Mule members. And then you told me, or you posted maybe on the forums or the group, that you were making it for one of the lunches during your little challenge. Oh, yes. And I was so nervous. I don't know why, but I was nervous. And then you came back and were like, everyone said it was so amazing, but I didn't get to try any because I made it and gave it to them. But then I was like, well, they all are going so crazy for it. I need to make it for myself. And then you're like, oh my God, they were right. And I was like, woo.
I know, I was scared because I was like, I'm making this and I never even tasted it, but it just sounded so good. And there was so much hype on your discussion group about it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try this. So Lots of the recipes were a big hit. And I just want to say thank you to you because You're just such a great role model, and you really have set the pace, and you know, you're helping so many people by
so nice, you know, of you to sharing say. All of that. I feel like you're the one helping people because this is amazing.
It's a very rewarding. That was very rewarding. I would love to do that like for my life if I could get those kinds of results. But it is a testimony to the way that we eat, the plant-based diet, that it does solve a lot of the ills of everybody in everyday life. You know, the things that people complain about the most, indigestion, lack of energy, they're on tons of medications, they don't feel well, and just a simple tweaking to their diets can have that such a major impact. I just don't understand why everybody isn't doing this.
Right. And it's so amazing to me that the two ladies who are already vegan and vegetarian, because, you know, all the time people think vegetarian, so healthy, and yet, or vegan, already vegan, so healthy. And yet even they saw still in such a short amount of time, a change. And not just like one little, you know, a little tiny change, like a massive one.
It was big. It was a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. I mean, cause that's such a short period of time, but it just goes to show you, you know, the standard American diet, how intense that is with all kinds of bad things. And then when you shut all that out and really just eat healthy for just a solid 2 weeks, what a major impact that can have on your life.
Now I have to ask, what did people in your office, because you know this was all with your coworkers and such, what did people who didn't participate, like what were their reactions? Were they curious? Were they interested? Were they shocked? Like were they sorry that they didn't join?
Well, yes, I think that, you know, I come in and deliver all the meals to everybody, you know, mm-hmm. and everybody else is looking around like, what's that? I'm like, oh, well, that's their lunch. And that's, well, I didn't know that you were going to deliver them to me. And then they were watching us as we ate, because we typically ate lunch together. That seemed to happen kind of organically. And then we would all share about what we did the night before, how they liked a meal, and, you know, what they liked, what they didn't like. Mm-hmm. And so then people would come and gather around us and say, what are you guys eating today? So there was definitely an interest, and they are still watching and still listening. And there's definitely, I can just say that there's a groundswell around that people are thinking differently. A couple of people have gone on diets, different diets though, but not the same. But you know, just, I think it's definitely stimulating interest. You know, modeling is very impactful. Even
lead
if you don't
by
say
example,
anything.
We're always saying that on the podcast and in the groups, all the members lead by example. Which you really did. You cooked
yes,
by example.
Yes, I agree. It was fun.
Yeah, I can tell from your voice. You're just so excited and pumped still. And you're making me excited. And I love it. So I guess I wanted to touch back on when you had brought up your coworker who had gone to the store and, you know, found the chips and the guacamole and was really, you know, she's shocked. And that's one thing I always tell people that surprises me the most is, while you might say it's a little inconvenient, I'm so grateful for that inconvenience because I'm conscious. Being plant-based mm-hmm. has given me a consciousness. I'm no longer blindly shoving things inside of me and not knowing yes. what's in them. I'm like mad at myself. Like how many years did I just shove things in my mouth that literally went inside my body and I didn't mm-hmm. know what it was or what was in it? It's like I now am aware exactly what goes in.
I know it is. I love that that at least opened everybody's eyes to look at the package, because even though you think guacamole, what could possibly, it's avocado.
Right.
Why would anybody boil in it? And mm-hmm. and that is one of the big lessons I think everybody learned was read the packages and look to see what's in it before you eat it.
Every now and then, and actually I feel like I'm gonna have to do this after we talk, is I'll post it in the forums or in our group or something and be like, okay guys, what's the most shocking thing you've ever found that should have been plant-based or vegan and wasn't? And I've heard the craziest things from like fish in orange juice, fish and peanut butter. I mean, I've heard just crazy stuff and it's like, what? But that's what happens when you don't read labels, because you think, oh, it's orange juice. Oh, it's guacamole. Oh, it's peanut butter. But then there's like oil or sugar, or like I said, like anchovies in peanut butter. And that was my contribution to the group was I found anchovies. And I actually remember throwing the peanut butter down on the floor of the store, like, what? And I picked it up and looked at it again after I'd, you know, thrown it down in a very dramatic fashion. And it was like, oh, I get it. They're trying to advertise that it's rich in omega-3s. So they just like whip some fish into the peanut butter. It's gross. So gross. And the reason I was attracted to it is because it was a green top and green's my favorite color. I'm like, oh, they switched to a green top. Don't buy the green top, Jif, everybody. Write this down. I don't think they make it anymore, but.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think they do. But yeah. And then someone else had said they found it in orange juice and it was the same thing. They picked up the orange juice for their kids. And then as they're like looking at it, they're like, why is there a warning that if you have a fish allergy, oh my God, there's fish in the orange juice.
Oh my goodness. I have never heard, I would never expect to see fish
in the orange juice. Like I, all things you just can't get wrong. It should just be the one thing.
But that's right.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other examples, but the two fish ones, of course, stick out to me the most. And one time I think someone was picking up, I think it was a guacamole, and it had not only milk in it, which I'm very confused by because I yes. don't know why you would put milk in guacamole, but it was also like animal lard was in the guacamole, or it was like in hummus or something.
Why?
And I was just like, why? Like these things don't make sense. But yeah, just getting people to care about what they're eating and just start paying attention is such a huge step. That was such a gift you gave them, because even if they don't become 100% plant-based ever, they're going to continuously be more conscious and make better decisions, and it will shape them from here on out. Like you planted that seed for them.
Yep. Yep. I feel like at least, you know, we moved the needle a little bit, and mm-hmm. that's really good. And the person that had reduced, she's lost 12 pounds
wow.
in the past 3 weeks, because she's been still doing it. So it's been 4 weeks. So she's still doing it, and she's the one that reduced her triglycerides from 573 to 232.
I didn't even know you could go over 400 in the readings for triglycerides. Like that, just knowing that she was in the 500s blows my mind.
Well, yeah, because when your triglycerides are over 400, they can't even calculate your LDL.
Yeah, that's why because I've been through that with some members who came to me very ill, and I'm like, I didn't even know you could, I thought 400. Because I've had a couple members come to me and be like, my triglycerides are over 400. The doctor couldn't give me an exact number because I was at like the top of the test. And so for you to come and tell me almost 600, I'm like, what? Let me process that information before we move on.
So her doctor, when she went back last time and it came out to 232, her doctor said, oh, your triglycerides are still very high, but never asked her like, why, how did you get them? How did you have them? Why did you decrease your triglycerides by 60% last time I saw you? Never asked her. Isn't that amazing?
That angers me. I have to be honest with you. That makes me so mad that was the thing. Oh, they're still too high. Not, oh my God, wow, great job. You really lowered them. What are you doing? You know, maybe so I know, so I can pass this on to someone else. Like I think as a doctor, I would just be dramatically curious. Like if I saw you and you came in and you lost 12 pounds, I would be like, oh, have you been exercising? Did you change your diet? Like, what are you doing?
I know.
What's happening?
That's what's frustrating.
Now I have to tell you my most favorite story is I had, one of our members, her doctor was the same way. She was like, oh, this is high, this is high, this is high, but never talked to her about doing anything like diet or exercise or anything. She just was like, here, take all these medicines. And so that's when she came to me. I watched Forks Over Knives, found Meal Mentor, and was like, okay, what can I do? Like, how can I get better? I want to try to do this before I take all these medications my doctor gave me. And she showed me the list. It was very long. They were very expensive. And so I said, well, let's try, you know. And so she went plant-based, and I think it was like a month, maybe it was 2 months. She went back to the doctor, and the doctor literally started patting himself on the back, like, see, I was right. Those medications worked. I'm so glad you're taking them. And she's like, I didn't. And she goes in to say, I watched, you know, Forks Over Knives, and I lost weight, and I did this, and I've been following these meal plans, and I'm plant-based, I'm whole foods plant-based, and vegan, blah, blah. And he still was like, diet can't do it. Even though it had, like, she clearly had the results right there. He still has dismissed her, and she's like, and I don't need your services anymore, peace.
Oh my good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
But it was just like, what? I just can't fundamentally understand this, that you wouldn't be curious.
Wow. I mean, I thought doctors typically should be curious because that's why they're so smart and that they're doctors, because, you know, they can learn a lot. They're always learning. That's what always amazes me, is that it doesn't seem like they want to learn that, for some of them, not all of them, but some of them don't want to learn that.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm really glad we caught up about the jumpstart, and we'll have to get some of the pictures because I know you took a bunch of pictures, and so I'll have to get those so we can share them. But before you go, I just have to pick your brain. If you have a few more minutes, I would love it if you could talk about your conference to Las Vegas, because I know you took food with you and I loved the pictures. And anyway, I hope you can just talk to us about it real quick because it was so inspiring.
What was that?
When you went to Vegas.
Yes,
I did. A conference in Las Vegas. Yeah, you had posted, like a picture and it had like organic unsweetened soy milk and some grapes and baby applesauces and then bananas and oranges and some Mary's Gone crackers. And then you had some like other food too, like corn and mashed potatoes. And you had posted packed food for my travel to conference in Las Vegas this week, getting really good at this, couple of backup dinners, steel cut oats cooked, rolled oats for other mornings, applesauce, soy milk, fruits, Mary's Gone crackers, homemade peanut butter. I can't believe you made your own peanut butter. That's amazing. Bananas, grapes, cuties, which are those little baby like tangerine things, Rips granola, which is engine 2 granola. And then you said you had like flavored vinegars, teas, and it was all in your checked bag. And so anyway, I wish you could to tell us about that.
You know, that's my, you know, I travel a bit, not a lot, but I travel and I just like to be prepared. So I've kind of developed some meals, things that I can pack in my check bag, because you can bring all kinds of liquids, because some of that stuff they won't let you go through security with. I've already had it taken away from me, like hummus, that seems to be a big explosive type of substance, I guess, but they always take my hummus.
They take my peanut butter, so...
Do they take your peanut butter?
They have.
But you know, if you put it on two pieces of bread, they don't take it.
Yeah, I found a little peanut butter packet and they took it. But my favorite is... I've totally interrupted you now. But my favorite is once had instant oats and I was planning to have the stewardess give me some hot water to make my oatmeal. And they took them from me saying that I might go into the bathroom, mix the oats with water, rub it all over my body and say it's explosive material.
What?
Now I fly a lot.
Come
for
on.
Work. Yeah, I know. I fly a lot for work, like way more than the average person. And so I feel like, you know, these things, but still. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. And the other time, the other favorite thing that happened to me, I mean, I've had all kinds of things taken from me, but my favorite was, who has the pink bag? Who has the pink bag? And I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's right. My bag is pink today. I was borrowing my handbag from my mom or my sister. I can't remember. And someone says to me, the TSA lady says, is that a banana in your bag or is it a gun? And I'm thinking, I almost said gun. I mean, I didn't, but I'm like, would I have answered that correctly? And like I said, I fly a ton. So like, it's like the lottery. Like eventually, you know, my number is going to come up and it does, but I just had to share this with you.
That is funny. That's a great quote. Is that a banana?
Or is it a gun? And I like looked at the banana and it wasn't particularly, you know, like a curved banana okay. But anyway, so back to you and traveling at the airport and them taking your hummus.
I swear. So, I mean, I just, when I travel, I try to pack as much as I can. And then I just kind of, if I don't have a refrigerator in my room, I kind of make one. I usually pack then an insulated bag and then I just keep loading that up with ice the entire time I'm there. And hopefully I have a microwave. If I don't have a microwave, then I have to kind of make do with what I have. I can borrow one in the hotel but in Las Vegas, they don't like you to stay in your room. So they don't give you a lot of amenities in your room. And so I found a coffee shop right downstairs that I would get hot water every morning. I'd go down there and it charged me for hot water.
Cup of hot water, please. Yeah, thanks, Vegas.
And then I would make my oats, my oatmeal for the day. And I had my vinegar, I had a couple of potatoes with me. So I would just take my potato out of the refrigerator and bring it with me to lunch and then dump my potato on top of my salad. And I know it sounds weird, but I do what I have to do. And I try to be very, you know, invisible when I can. But people are usually always commenting like, where'd you get that potato from?
Yeah. I find that too. I'm like my handbag.
They know me now that, Patricia, she's always got potatoes in her bag.
I was at this conference in Texas and, the whole conference was like 3 days. And then at the end of the conference, they had asked people like to share what was your favorite thing. And people wrote it down on cards and they were randomly just pulling cards that people had written like out of a hat and just reading them aloud to all of the attendees. And it was really fun. It's like, oh, I like this person's speech. I like this thing. I tasted this or whatever. I'm not joking. Somebody wrote on a card and then that card got pulled out of a hat that their favorite thing was seeing the happy herbivore pull a potato out of her purse and eat it. Which I did do. I was sitting in the back of like, I think it was Colin's lecture or something. And I was so hungry. I just couldn't wait another minute. And so I like pulled a sweet potato out of my handbag. Well, and this was like years ago. This was before I became the potato advocate that I am today. This was years ago. So
I love potatoes and they're
me too.
Great. You know, they are the best to have a snack. You know, they take away your hunger and then you don't feel bad after eating them. So that's, you know, so that my whole trip was, I really did really well. I didn't eat one sweet the entire time.
That's
I didn't
awesome.
Eat off the plan. I had my backups. If I just waited, I could go back to my room and eat, you know, all the things that I had there. And I kept full and I felt healthy when I got back, except for all the smoke, of course, in Las Vegas and all the hotels.
Oh, I hate that you can smoke inside. I wish that they would ban it there too. I don't know if they will, but I wish they would.
It was horrible. By the end of the conference, everybody was coughing and everybody had hoarse voices. So anyway, but that's kind of my travel and sounds like you do the same thing. So not alone.
That's a really interesting idea. I didn't think about going to a coffee shop for hot water. I have gone to gas stations, which in a place like Vegas, that's not necessarily possible, but I have gone to gas stations. On airplanes, they have the hot water. But that's good to know about sometimes, which they don't have these in Vegas. In a lot of hotel rooms, you know, they have a coffee pot or a tea maker in the room that'll make hot water for you. But Vegas, like you said, they don't want you in your rooms. So, but I have found that in almost all hotels I've stayed at, in America, in Europe, no. If I ask for a microwave before I get there, they'll usually give me one. Vegas, I'm sure, would say no. But everywhere else. And the refrigerator thing, and I learned this from someone else, you can request a refrigerator, and if you say it's for medication, they have to supply it.
Yep. And the refrigerator usually is a good bet. The microwave is always, like, they laughed at me at the desk in Las Vegas. I said, is there any way I can get a microwave in my room? And she laughed out loud. It's like, oh no, we don't have any microwaves here. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I would be like, oh, I have food allergies. And they'd be like, our chefs can accommodate. Like, I feel like in Vegas, they're just, it would, you just lose. They'd have an answer for everything. No.
That's funny.
Well, thank you so much for coming back on real quick, Patricia, and telling us about the program. I know everyone was happily following you as you were going through it. And I guess my last question is are you going to do it again? Actually, I'm sure you will because you loved it so much. And if someone wanted to do something similar with their church group or their mommy group or their coworkers, do you have any advice?
I would advise if everybody can just expose a couple of people for a couple of weeks to this. I think that would be wonderful. You just have to be organized, but that's pretty simple. Just know what you're going to make and get all your stuff ready, and then also don't do so much of a lecture to the people. Just kind of question and answer is probably the best bet. You don't want to kind of shove anything down anybody's throat. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of I took the advice from the Meal Mentor discussion group. They all gave me great input. And so I kind of canned the lecture kind of piece and just kind of gave them a lot of resources and information that they can go read themselves, and then answered a lot of questions. And of course, use your meals, because I think those are the best.
Oh, thank you. And the thing too, in case people don't know, is you can download, anybody, truly anyone off the street, can download a free 7-day meal plan from getmealplans.com. So you always have the option of providing that to them as well. Either
absolutely,
if you want to use that, you know, and not create your own thing like you did, or if after you're all said and done, be like, okay, and your next step is to go download this free 7-day plan that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
And it's completely free. It's the full 7 days, and it's the family and the individual. So really, they're getting almost 2 weeks if they do the two of them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And so that's why I tell people all the time, they're like, well, I don't know. My friend wants to try it, but she's so nervous. I'm like, just tell her to download the free 7-day plan. Hello. She only makes one recipe off of it. That's, again, we're planting that seed.
Yeah. I mean, I think if we can encourage everybody on the Meal Mentor discussion group to think about how they could do this and how they can impact, you know, a couple of lives in their life. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the ripple effect is tremendous. That's what amazed me too, out of this whole experience, is that there is such a ripple effect. You're not just affecting that person that you're talking to, you're affecting everybody in their circle. And then it just keeps going on. So we can make an impact.
Absolutely. And I love how you just like took it and, amazing. And that's kind of like, I know you were a big fan of the movie Plant Pure Nation, but that's kind of what they did, is they were like, hey, do this challenge. We'll give you the food. And it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, they did. They made a tremendous impact too on that church.
Yeah. Huge, 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 huge. Which is a great movie to watch. Even if you don't ever want to do something like Patricia, I highly recommend watching Plant Pure Nation, which actually brings me to another point. That's often a way that I've gotten a lot of people curious, is I have like basically screening parties at my home where I invite my friends over and we watch a movie, whether it's Forks, Silver Knives or Blackfish or The Plant Pure Nation, you know, any number of these movies. There's so many. And I make food, you know, so they come over and there's tons of stuff to eat. And it really opens, it's not as abrasive as like a lecture to them, you know. It's a social thing. It's fun. It's casual. There's no pressure. If they don't want to eat the food, they don't have to. Of course, they always do, but they don't feel pressured because they're like, well, it's a party. And, you know, I don't have to eat everything if I don't want to. No, it's not a dinner, you know. Yeah. It's like a party with some stuff around. So I get a lot of converts that way.
And especially if you serve your bomber fries, which are my favorite. I bring them everywhere now. I can't deal with that.
I made like a quadruple, if not like a six times batch for the Super Bowl. I barely got any. And I'm having an Oscars party and my husband's like, you have to make it. And three of the guests that were around for the Super Bowl aren't coming to that as well. And of course, they said the same thing. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to buy 20 pounds of potatoes and I'm not even going to make anything else because what else do you need in life?
You don't need anything else. That is my, oh my gosh, that is heaven. You gave me heaven, Lindsay. Thank you so much.
I gave myself heaven. You're very welcome. If you haven't had the bomber fries, guys, you need to go do that like right now. Stop listening to the podcast or continue to listen to the podcast on headphones and make some bomber fries. And actually, what I'm doing, I'm going to tell you this, it's our little secret, and everyone listening to the podcast. For the Oscar party, I'm making the bomber fries, and I'm going to put the chorizo soup on it, too.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
I'm going to reduce it down, you know, so it's not a soupy, so it's more just like the chorizo, and it's going to, I'm telling you, the world's going to shake, ladies. You're going to feel the rumble. Wherever you are, you're going to feel the rumble of what's happening in my house. California.
A little far for me to walk or drive, but
I live like right? Come on over. But I think it's going to be epic. Okay. Well, I won't keep you anymore. I said 5 minutes and I've already hogged up 30, but I love having you on the podcast and I always love your insights. And if you do the challenge again, you're definitely going to have to come back and tell us about it. And maybe you'll just have to come back and update us on how your 5 coworkers proceed throughout the year. Cause I'm just so amazed. So I expected it to go well because I know you and I know how positive and inspiring you are, but this just blows my mind as it clearly it blew yours too.
Thank you. I think, you know, having your encouragement also helped as well. So
yeah, I was really excited for you. I was nervous. I was like, oh my God, she's feeding these random people Meal Mentor food, which is weird because like people sign up for Meal Mentor that I don't know all the time, but I just was like so nervous.
It was nerve wracking. I was cooking like a maniac.
Well, I was worried about you. I was like, she's cooking for so many more people. Like she's already a great batch cooker, but this is like batch cooking Olympics because it's like 5 other adults.
I don't know if I could do that every day for the rest of my life, but it was a fun, I felt like I was running a restaurant for 2 weeks.
Oh, really. I bet. Yeah. I know. Every time I do a catering job, I'm like, this is why I'll never have a restaurant. I mean, I love it and I feel really good that everyone enjoys it, but I'm like, I don't know how people do that for a living. That's a whole other trade that is not for me. Well, thanks again for coming on, Patricia. And you're so inspiring. And I love that you did this challenge. And I loved all the takeaways. You know, if you can just plant a seed, if you can just get one person to care about just reading the labels, like that is a massive win, guys. Massive win. Progress, not perfection. And feed them. That's, you know, cook by example, lead by example. But if nothing else, feed them. People don't turn down muffins. Take muffins to work.
No, they don't.
Take them muffins. If you have to, I used to do this. I'd put them in the break room and walk away and never let anyone else see me eating them. And after all the emails circulated, who wrapped the muffins? Who has the recipe? I'd be like, you guys ate Whole Foods, no, plant-based, no oil, no sugar. Like, and they'd be like, of course, I knew it was Lindsay. I knew it. Like, no, you didn't. They're like, I thought I tasted tofu. There wasn't tofu in the muffin. You liked it, and so you knew it was healthy.
That's great. I love that. I'm going to do that.
Do it. And of course, if you're a member, you already know Patricia because she's very active in the discussion group. And anyway, if you want to learn more, join us. You're curious. You found this podcast. Visit getmealplans.com. I'm your host, Lindsay S. Nixon. Patricia, thank you again for joining us and filling things in.
Bye.
And bye. Have a good night.